Romans 9, I'm gonna pick up the reading in verse number 28, and then we're going to ask God to help us. The Bible says, "For he," in verse number 28, "for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Let's pray. Brother Mike, would you pray for us, please?
"Again, Lord, we come to you, Lord, with confidence and thankfulness in our heart. We thank you, dear Lord, for what you mean to us and what you've done for us in the past. Lord, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for each and every one that came out today. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to be the ones that could not make it. Lord, that you just bless those as well.
Right.
Lord, that they get to hear the word through the whatever they need to hear. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to be Brother Chase today, Lord, that you just set him up, turn him loose. Lord, let that word soak within our hearts and souls. Lord, that we might be able to carry it out this week, Lord, and just share it.
Amen.
Lord, just fill us up and give us a boldness that we need.
Yes.
And to steadfast, to stand strong right in the times that we are in. Lord, that we'll be able to stand and say what needs to be said, Lord, when it comes to your word. Lord, just all of this we ask, Lord, we ask your holy, sweet, precious name. Yeah. In your name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to speak to you this morning out of this text that we just read here on the topic, Mother Earth. Mother Earth. You hear a lot of talk these days about climate change, and you hear a lot of talk about environmentalism, and a lot of talk about global warming. And you know what I thought about this right here? I wish people were more concerned about Father God than they are about Mother Earth.
Amen.
You always got these female deities, you know. You got Mary, you know, Mother Mary, you know, and all this stuff. I'm telling you something. People need to be more concerned about what God has to say in His Word.
Amen.
Than about this earthly mindset.
That's right.
And you say, why would you be talking about global warming in a message? It has more relevance than what you think it does. You're going to hear a lot about climate change, and I want you to know, as I'm talking about this stuff, we've got the Word of God that addresses every single issue that man faces. There's nothing that scientists or philosophers can come up with to justify their devilment, and that's what they do, that can't be answered if they would just go to the Word of God for the answers. I want you to know, it don't matter. It's something as simple as a topic on climate change. The Bible's got the answer. And I want you to know, if you say, okay, well, the Bible had the answer on climate change, and the Bible's got the answer to that. If I've got something I cannot figure out, I've got a problem, I've got an issue, you can go to the Word of God and search it out and ask God to help you, and He'll help you with it. Now, global warming and these topics, evolution, climate change, what happens is it's just another belief system to get people off the topic that really matters, which is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and salvation. I've got an article here from Georgetown University, led by lost, unsaved, and I'm not attacking people's character, but I'm going to tell you something. It may be some saved folks there, but it ain't many. You read what they believe. This Berkeley Center right here for Religion, Peace, and World Affairs. I've never seen such an ungodly bunch other than the folks up there working alongside the Pope. It's just wickedness. And you say, what are they doing? They're teaching you things, and they're teaching people things, and people are getting a hold of these ideas and thinking things are important that aren't even of our concern.
That's right.
And I'm going to show you what the Bible says about it out of this verse right here. But I'm going to read this article to you. This lady right here, her name's Anna Peterson. And I pray that God will save her soul. But she says this right here. Religious leaders and communities may have a unique role to play in colliding, calling attention to the socially unequal impact of both the pandemic and climate change, and in supporting practical programs to reduce environmental destruction and aid its victims. Oh my. Now this is what she says about this. I'm just giving you a little bit of this article, and there's all kinds of things. I'm just trying to show you what the connection is. And to us. She says in her article, some conservative religious groups, especially evangelical Protestants, that's lumping up Bible believers, are doubling down on conspiracy theories, polarized views of their cultural enemies, and rejections of scientific evidence. You see how these philosophies, we're going to take care of the earth, and you're rejecting science, science and philosophy, rather than reflecting on how we might need to reset. See there? There's coming a global reset. I can tell you, one of these days the Lord's going to come press the reset button. I can tell you this right here. And buddy, it's going to be a good reset. It says, reset in the wake of this disaster. These groups view the pandemic as they do climate change. See how they're just lumping y'all in. Through their suspicion of science. You better believe I'm suspicious of science. When I was a child, I remember reading an article one time, and I didn't even know anything about what was going on. They said, one of these days, there's going to be an ice age come. I thought to myself, huh. And then later on, they're saying, well, global warming. Well, which is it? It's going to be an ice age, or we all going to burn up? According to the Bible, going to burn up. I'm preaching my message before we get to it. But look, I'm excited about it. Well, look, if God were to set it on fire, if you're saved, you'd just be like the three Hebrew children. I'd just walk through the fire and enjoy it. Amen. Why? Because I'm saved. You see, a saved person has a different perspective. And look, burn this old body, this thing will burn, whatever, you cremate it, whatever you want to, but my soul won't burn. And God will give me a brand new casing for my soul. I tell you what, that's a blessing. It says, these groups view the pandemic as they do climate change through their suspicion of science and other liberal social forces. Now watch this. The conservative religious rejection of science is part of the extreme cultural and political polarization that makes it impossible to reach consensus and make progress on many urgent social and environmental problems. This real urgent, is it? More urgent than lost souls? More urgent than godly matters? You see what they think's urgent? You're going to find out God don't think it's so urgent. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you get to the place where if you get off the focus of simplicity that's in Christ, you get an earthly mindset, this world, and guess what I realize? The lost, you know what they're doing? They're having to replace a relationship with God with another religion. You know what environmentalism is? It's a religion. Can you prove it? I'll tell you why. The Bible says, it's not a religion, it's relationship. The Bible says that if you don't trust Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. Look, people say, I hate to tell you that. It's just the Bible. But there's a solution for that problem. So you know what environmentalists say? If you don't do something, doom is coming. They've replaced hell with the destruction of the earth, and man, we're not going to have a place to live. Hey man, I don't have to have a place to live. Why? I'm living in Christ.
Amen.
You see, the whole view, that's why you go to the psychiatrist. If a Christian goes to the psychiatrist, after you leave, the psychiatrist will have to have a psychiatrist. Why? Because they don't understand your point of view. They're lost. So what I'm saying is this, then they got impending doom, but then you got to repent. You got to realize you were wrong on your belief on climate change, environment. See how they had to. I'm telling you this, if you don't get saved and you don't have a relationship with God, you're going to replace it with something. You're going to. And then guess what? Then you get to become the I am. You get to become God, and you get to save the world. Works. You see how they have to replace it? It's a religion. It's really, that's why I'm telling you, the importance has always got to be the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. So what happens is you get your focus off, and then the worldly mindset rubs on the Christian. You say, how's that happen? Here's some things. I watched a few documentaries on climate change. You're talking about boring. But I wanted to have some research. And man, y'all, some of these things, I feel so bad for them. These are people, I believe some of them are saved, some of them had a testimony, but they're just as messed up as a jello on the floor. I hate dropping jello on the floor because all the dirt sticks to the jello. That's how messed up they are. Dirt all over them. Just something good, something that has the potential to be good, can't even do anything with it. All right, here's a book by Paul Douglas on caring for creation. He says this: we are tending what's left of Eden, so we need to take care of it. We're not tending what's left of Eden. Eden was destroyed by sin.
That's exactly right.
It's crazy how that's this guy's mindset. We've got to take care of the earth. We're tending what's left of Eden. No, you're not, man. This is a sin-cursed earth, man. Right. This thing's headed for doom. You know what we're doing? The ship is sinking. Throw out the life rafts.
Amen.
He's got a wrong view. Yeah, he may be saved. This is their philosophy. We should do all we can to preserve life on earth. That's what they think. You know what Paul said to me in Philippians 1:21? To me to live is Christ. Hey, man, as long as I got the Lord, I don't even have to have the earth. Don't even have to have a place to lay my head. As long as I've got God, I've got everything I need. You see, the mindset, their philosophy's wrong while they've gotten in with the world. Well, our thing is each lesson on these things, learn what is the direction the world's going, go completely opposite. Look, as a Christian, 99.9% of the time, you can find out what direction the multitude's going and go the other way and you'll be fine. Why? Because the multitude always accepts the lie. It's always been that way, and it'll be that way until the Lord comes and fixes it. Don't join a multitude in sin, the Bible says. So you got this boy. I feel so bad for Caleb when I watched this thing, this poor old boy. He don't even know how to dress himself. But Caleb is a member of Young Evangelicals for Climate Action. It's a group trying to engage skeptical evangelicals. So they're trying to get other Christians to believe like they do on this climate change. He lives in Oregon, and I thought about this after seeing all this stuff this poor boy believes. And it's his beliefs are off. He don't quote one verse of the Bible. Not one verse. It's a philosophy. What I'm trying to tell you is, just like you pray, the world is trying to get off of the Bible and to mess your mind up. So we're going to take the Bible and correct the mind state here in a minute, Lord willing. But his parents said while they was sitting there by him in this documentary, eating the Western diet is one of the biggest factors in global warming. I like to die laughing. I said, they're eating a Western diet. So in other words, it's the way we're eating. You see how people are so... Let me tell you something. You try to take my bacon and eggs and you just have trouble.
That's right.
Well, look here. If somebody told me I couldn't eat bacon, I'd put it in my mouth and just swish it around a little bit just to get the taste of it. Well, I like some bacon. And I like eggs. And you know what people try to do? They will get you so far off base.
That's right.
You're plumb outside the ballpark. Now, some of them, that's where they're at. They're not even playing, but you say, well, he's out in left field. He's not even in the ballpark. Why? Because they got off. They got off kilter. So what do we do? What I'm trying to do, I'm going to give you a few things this morning, Lord willing, if I'm just excited. Look, I love telling y'all about the Lord, man. I'm glad we got the answers, man. We're on the winning side. But what I want you to do is, as we go through these lessons, you're supposed to stay filled. The Bible talks about being full of the Spirit. Now, if I owned a grocery store, you know what I try to do? I try to keep my shelves full. So when someone come in, well, they, you know, maybe today I didn't have many customers. When somebody come in there, I'd have plenty on the shelves for them to get. You know what you're trying to do? Keep yourself full of that Bible, full of that Bible, full of that Bible. So when you do have a customer, so to speak, you do have somebody come up needing some of that Bible knowledge, you're full and you're ready to give them some Bible. We got a sword of the Spirit. The Bible said it's a sword of the Spirit. So you got a spiritual weapon right there in your lap, and it's likened to a sword. Why? To show you a picture of illustration. If you did practice with swords, and you knew somebody did. All right, well, let's just say they did have a battle. Well, they have a sword. Let's say they haven't been practicing with it in a year or two. When they come up to the battle, well, they're no good with it. Why? They haven't been practicing.
They haven't been practicing.
So you know what the Lord's saying? Hey, Get there and sharpen your sword daily. Make sure you know where those verses are. If you have to mark them and stuff like that. I may not be able to tell you, quote you the verse exactly, but I can just about tell you in this Bible right here that I use a lot, I can just about tell you on what page and what corner of the Bible where that verse is at, and I can take you to it. Why? I'm familiar with that Bible. And a lot of it, I don't have it memorized, but I can take you to it. But mark that thing well. Be familiar with your sword. That's what we're doing this morning. Practice with that thing and be familiar with it daily so whenever the time comes, you're ready. Be filled. Okay, so the first thing I want you to see out of Romans 9:28 is the Lord's work. The Lord's work. I want you to see something about the Lord's work is sure. He said He's going to finish it. That means His work is sure. Now you think about this. You believe He's going to finish your faith. The Bible said in Romans 8:38, just the previous chapter here, Apostle Paul says, "For I am persuaded." He's already been persuaded. You ain't got to persuade him about anything else. He's already persuaded. He said that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. None of that stuff. I'm persuaded of it. You know what? It's sure. His work is sure. Guess what? One of these days, I'm going to be just like Jesus Christ. Why? I'm persuaded that the work God does is sure. It's sure. What He said He's going to do with this earth is sure, just as sure as I'm standing here. It's sure. Now, you think about this. He goes on to say, 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded." See, he's sure of it, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Look at that. The Lord's work is sure. Not only that, but it's stable. Now, I want you to see something in your Bible. Hold your place in Romans and turn to Genesis chapter 8. This is a verse you're going to need to mark, and I'll give you some other verses to go along with it to place in your margin if you'd like to, about this stability that the Lord's given our planet. You're going to see everything God does is sure and it's stable. What God does is stable. Let me tell you something. I don't have to be here for the sun to come up in the morning. I know some people think that the world revolves around them, and if they're not at a place, it's just not going to run right. Tell you something. God can replace. You know, you got some people on the job and things like that. They think, man, let me tell you this right here. Any one of us, God can say, hey, come on home. And He can put somebody else right in that place. Why? Because He don't like a haughty spirit. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. Before a fall. He's sure, He's stable. Look at Genesis 8, verse 22. I got to turn the right chapter myself. The Bible says this, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Getting to you can't hardly tell the seasons anymore. Y'all, look, the Bible says you may have differing, some summers are hot, some winters are warmer, some summers are cooler, you're going to have to, but you're always, according to that Bible, going to be able to tell the seasons.
Absolutely, brother.
You're going to have that stability. Why? On the earth, look, man, you get to studying some of this stuff about climate change and things like that. They know these things. They can make a lot of money off pressing the wrong part of climate change. Sometimes these jet streams, look, we've went through, y'all have all went through warm winters. I went through winters, man. In January, it'd be warm out in the 70s. The next winter, man, so cold, brother. You talking about cold. You know, you go outside and it hurts your hands type cold. You ever been in that and the wind hits your hands and it's stinging? That's the very next year. Why? Varies. That's just part of it. But you can still tell when it's winter and when it's summer. You can, why? Because He said, from now on, you're going to be able to tell. You say, how far is it going to go? It's going to go way on out there. I'm going to read you a few verses. Here's a few verses for speed, for your margin. Psalm 72, verse 5 says, "They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure." Well, that's going to be a long time. Why, we always going to fear God. "Throughout all generations." He said the sun and the moon, that give you the seasons like that. Why? Because of where the moon is, where the sun is in relation to the earth. It's going to endure for all generation. The Bible said in Psalm 89, verses 36 through 37, His seed shall endure forever, and His stone, throne as the sun before me. That means the sun, there's going to be a sun out there from now on. The Bible said, It shall be established forever as the moon. Look at this. And as a faithful witness in heaven. Why? He's saying, hey, just like I'm faithful, I'm going to set them things out there from now on. Why? To give you a stability. No, they're there. As long as they're there, you're going to know I'm faithful. You know what that tells me? We got a faithful God. Why? He's sure and He gives you stability of life. I love the stability that I have in Christ. I've always got a plumb line to go to. No matter how crazy my mind gets, I can always go to God and get the stability that I need. Why? Because I may shake on top of the rock, but we've learned in the as you go on in life, the rock never shakes under you. Exactly. I think why He is our rock, our stability, our strength, our song. That's the Lord. Now here's another thing. Revelation 21:23 says, and the city had no need of the sun. Didn't say there wasn't going to be a sun. It said there was going to be no need of it in that city. Why? Because it goes on to say, it says neither of the moon to shine in it. Why? For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light there. In that great city, it said it's going to be so bright there you're not going to need the sun. Didn't say it wasn't going to be there. You got people who say, well, see, the Bible said one of these days, and the sun's not going to be there, and there's a contradiction. No, there's no contradiction. Right. When you read that Bible, it says no need of it. You better make it. That's why you can't have a Bible. You take these people, and they're making millions off a translation. That translate. Why? They'll change one word. What if they just change those two words right there? You can make a real contradiction in the Bible. You better not mess with one word in that Bible. Yeah. People say, well, all they took was the these and the thous out. Bible says don't take one word out. I need those these and those thous. Amen. Why? It's not our language. They say, well, don't talk like we talk. It's not supposed to. It's the Bible, man. Never man spake like he spake. The Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks pure. Why? It has to be accurate. I take accuracy over updated any day. Yeah. I just like it with NIV. You know, you understand? You can't understand. Let's go over here in Ezekiel together and with your updated translation. Tell me what Ezekiel 16 means.
Amen.
Come over here and let's get over in some of these hard passages. Take your NIV and let's look at Daniel chapter 7 together then and show me what that means. You don't know. Why? Because look, people I know have been reading that Bible a whole lot longer than me. I've got some things I'm still working out over there in Daniel 7. I've been looking at it for years. I've been wanting to finish. I had to stop at Daniel 6. Why? I had to get like one of my favorite teachers. Whenever he gets to something he don't understand, he says, Ich weiß nicht. You know what that's German for? I don't understand it. You know what? Why? Because you wouldn't understood that if I hadn't told you it was German. What he's saying is, you don't understand it unless God shows you.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things in there, y'all. That's why that Bible is such a book to where you can spend a lifetime studying it. And guess what? The person after you can spend another lifetime studying it, and they'll still be getting things from it. You need God. You need God. Now, here's the thing. People say, well, the sun's going to burn out. You know, we got this thing and the sun's about to burn out. I don't care. I don't care if it does burn out. Why? We're going to get a new one. The Bible says, 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless we, according to His promise, and He's going to keep all His promises, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know what I'm looking forward to. Brother, I'm looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth. Why? The heavens, why? It's going to be a new sun in that new heaven. Yes. New everything. Why? Because the Bible said the heavens are not clean to sight. That's why He's got to have that great deep up there blocking the glory of God. When it says there's no more sea, there's going to be no more sea up there separating the glory of God from us. It's going to be just like it was in the beginning. The Bible said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Why didn't it say the heavens? They were together before sin entered in. It was one whole thing. You'll look up there one of these days and man, it'll be totally different. Why? You won't have to have that glory of God being blocked from you. Won't that be something? Just be able to walk with the Lord. Man, you talking about this new heaven, new earth. You know what? I've got things in my mind. It's pretty childish, I guess. But I you know what? I like to swim. And at one time, you can ask Mom and Daddy, I got to where I could hold my breath for a little while. I don't know how long, but enough to scare Daddy. And I go down to the bottom, you know, and he said, boy, you need to come up. Well, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to be able to dive down in a sinless body one of these days and just go down there and look at all those fish without a snorkel, without any oxygen, nothing like that. Y'all, won't that be wonderful? You say, I just don't believe God's going to let you do that. Why not? Right. I can do it on a sinful earth in a sinful body. Don't you know everything on the other side is going to be better than what we have? What makes you think I can't go take a swim for a lunch break? That'd be wonderful, man. Lord, I want a job by the seaside. I want to serve you over by a beautiful view and all this stuff. Okay, I'll let you go down here and serve on the side over here. Look, who knows? Look, I'm telling you this about heaven. Your mind can't conceive how good it is. You can't sit here and dream up something. And why? Because you've got a sinful body and a sinful mind. You can't think how wonderful it's going to be. You can't. All you can fathom is just what this earth has shown you. Paul went to heaven after he was stoned. He went up there and he come back and said, man, it's unspeakable words. I just can't. If I told you, you'd think I was lying. Man, that's why he went back into that town. They said, they're going to stone you, Paul. I don't care. Stone me, man. I'm ready to go. What I'm telling you this, if you knew what was awaiting you, you wouldn't be able to sit still in your seat right there. Why? This sin it blocks, it's a veil there that blocks that joy that God gives you knowing where you're going.
Yes.
Man, I tell you something, I thank God one of these days, let the sun burn out. I just let God light my world. I tell you something, man. You know, people say, well, what about all these patterns and what all this stuff? There's always been various patterns. In Genesis, you had a seven-year famine. 7 years of famine, 7 years of good. I mean, you know, all the way back, I was reading over here in Zechariah 14, verse 5. People said, well, we got earthquakes now, and these things are getting really bad. There's one earthquake that was so bad, the Bible says in Zechariah 14, 5, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. I think that's how you pronounce that. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now you think about that, and I'll stop there. That earthquake was so bad that they could relate to it. He said, it's going to be that bad. Way, way back then, you had times of famine, you had times of great drought, you had times of war back then, you had times of great sickness, you had times of all kinds of things. Why? Because that's part of living on a sin curse, or the earth goes through good times and the earth goes through bad times, just like your earthly body does.
Right.
Now, you know what you're going to find out? This present evil world we're living in right now should give you a desire to live in the one that only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring in, and not man. You know the problem I have with all this, environmentalism and all these tree huggers and all this stuff is they want to do it by themselves without God. Now look, I don't like when somebody drives. I don't know why they feel like they drive by my house and throw out their beer cans and stuff like that, and I have to go down there and pick them up and all that stuff. I don't like litter. At all. But at the same time, that's part of taking care of God. If you want to pick up trash, man, pick it up. And I'll help you on that. But don't put that above God.
That's right.
That's the trouble that people are doing. Look, the human mind wants to do goodness without God so bad. They say, man, I adopted a highway and I keep that thing clean, and you wouldn't believe. You go through that stretch of road, and brother, it's clean when you go through there. Okay, well great. What have you done for somebody? You cleaned up some trash. Okay. You got some of these people, man, they'll talk about how they recycle and all this stuff.
Right.
You might be causing more damage. If you read some of these articles I've read, you might be causing more damage by your recycling if you've looked at some than you will with just throw it in the trash. If you looked into how they do that recycling, I'm going to get into hold. I got, Lord help me. What I'm telling you is you'll get off kilter. You will get off kilter. I thought about not only this, but the Lord's work is sure is stable, but it's simple. He just said in Romans 9, he said, it's the work. I'm going to finish the work. What all does that entail? Well, we could go with some verses and stuff, but he just keeps it simple and says it's the work. The Lord is so confident in His work, He can say it's finished before the job's ever even done. You know what? Before the Lord went to the cross, He has the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. Watch what the Lord says. He's talking to His Father, and He said, "I have glorified Thee on the earth." That's what we're supposed to do. If you follow, people say, "I follow Jesus," are you glorifying God on the earth? You earth huggers and everything else, are you glorifying God? Well, that's what Jesus said, do. You got these people claiming to be Christians saying, "Man, we're doing God's work on earth." Well, Jesus said He glorified God on earth. If you're going to follow Jesus, glorify God. That's the work He wants done. Don't worry about picking up the trash. Why? They just, as soon as you pick it up, somebody else is going to throw some more down. Right by my house, throw out a McDonald's bag. Crazy, man. Well, I just go out there and pick it up. Why? It's my yard. I'll pick it up. And you know what? God sees all that stuff. I ain't got to worry about it. Throw another one out. I don't care. He says this.
Amen.
I have finished the work. He said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." He hadn't even went to the cross yet, said He finished the work. You know what? He is so confident in keeping His word. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful and so sure and so steadfast and so stable. He's able to say, "I finished it," before He ever even did it. Why? Because He's confident. A human can't do that. You know what I'm bad about doing? I hate that I do this. I wish I did. I say, "Man, I'll see you later," or "I'll talk to you later," or something like that. Maybe a week later before you ever even call somebody. Why? We get busy and we just, a lot of times, we have intentions on doing things. But man, we get busy in life, but guess what? Thank God He don't do that. Why? He's not a regular man. When Pilate looked up there and saw the Lord Jesus Christ take that beating He took, and Pilate said, "Hey, I've got the power to let you go," the Lord said, "You don't have any power. Let's just give you a bump." He said, "Man, I've never seen a man like this. I've never seen a man like this staring death in the face." And He said, "Hey, you don't have any power. Let's just give you." You know what? On anybody in this room, we don't have anything unless it's given thee of God. God has to give it to you. You say, "I'm about to get up here in just a little bit and go do so and so." If God gives you the power to get up, you'll go. But if God don't want you to go, you're not going to go. And I'll tell you something, the world, the better, the quicker the world gets that, the better. Why? God can do whatever He wants to do. He's God. Verse 28 again in Romans, He said He's going to finish it. He can commit that to writing before it's ever even finished. The work He's done is not finished yet, but He said He will finish it. He committed it to writing. All right, not only that, in Mark 2 verse 9, the Bible says the Lord Jesus said, "Whither is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy?" He said, which one's easier? "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Man can't forgive sins. "Or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk." Sorry, Ben Hinn, you can't do it. But God can do it. You know what I like about my Lord? He said, either one, just one's just as easy as the other. Say, can God help so-and-so in the hospital? Can God can forgive your sins, and God can help you in any way you need. Wow, that's my God. Wow, that's what gets me excited about preaching, man, is I'm getting up here telling you about a God that can handle anything you've got coming to you. And brother, He'll do it. He will do it. Why? He said He will finish. And anything that you've got in your life, He will do. I love that. Not only that, it's simple, but it's short. I want you to turn to a few places while we got... hate that clock. Turn two places. Turn to Daniel. I want you to see this, though. Turn to Daniel 5 while I set this thing up. Daniel 5 and then Revelation chapter 18. I want you to see something about... how the Lord works. It's very, very important for us to see how the Lord does things according to His Word and how He works. We get so worked up about stuff that doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter at all. And who else is? Is anybody else hot in here? All right, if y'all will, I'm sorry. I'm just... I'm cooking. But I'm just about to. But I guess I'll start preaching on hell here in a minute. When you get hot like that, you say, "Woo! I'm glad I ain't going to hell." Hey, y'all ever done that? Have you ever got real hot and just start thanking the Lord for things? I think, Lord, that's the last thing I got to worry about is going to hell. All right, so I want you to see something about things. God can change things quickly. I think about this and I look at this text right here. God spoke the world into existence just like that. That's how quick He can do something. That's how quick He can change things. People say, I just don't know, we're going to be dealing with stuff for so long. We don't know what's coming in the days ahead. It's in God's hands. He can change in a moment, man. I think about this. In just a minute, God just showed out and He said, watch this, angels. That's not in the Bible. I'm just saying, don't you know they were interested in seeing what God was about to do? He said, here's some dust. Now watch this. Now you think about God. He said, I'm going to make a man out of this. Now look, if I was Gabriel or Michael or one of them other angels, I'd been saying, now what's he about to do? He's going to make a man out of that dust. And he takes the dust of the ground and breathes the breath of life in the man. And man became a living soul. That's amazing. He can do it just that quick. No problem for him. All these things that doctors have been studying for years, and these neurons and all these nerves and all these muscles and all this stuff, God just, boom, made it. Now, I want you to see how quick God can do something. You look at Daniel chapter number 5, and we're going to look at the end of this chapter, but you've got a thing right here, and if you want to see a nation's downfall, you look at verses 1-4, and you're going to see revelry. You look at verses 5-29, and you're going to see revelation. They get a revelation from God on this thing, and then you get over here in verses 30-31, you're going to see God's retribution. You know what that is? That's a nation's downfall right there. All right, and all of a sudden, you've got a man here who didn't want to hear from God. You've got a man here. This whole place had gotten so wicked where they took the vessels of God and put unclean things in them. You know what? That's a scary picture for the church age. Well, we're called vessels of God. You better be careful what you allow enter into your mind. Now look, your soul's fine, but I'll tell you something. This vessel, this body, can be destroyed by that old wicked pollution. Now, here's this king. You've got a king. You've got a whole governmental setup. And don't you know the people of that nation, we're stable. Everything's fine. Nothing's going to happen to us. All right. Well, then you get over here. And the last thing this man thought was this: by the afternoon, he was going to be completely gone. And somebody else was going to be ruling over the place. Watch how quickly God can work. Verse number 30. In that night
mm-hmm.
was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Now when he got up that morning, he didn't think he was going to be dead that afternoon. You take some of these wicked leaders and stuff like that, and here they are living without God in the world and don't realize that God is the one giving them the next breath. And you think, what do you think about that, Brother Chase? I think this right here, I think the Bible says they better be careful. I think, you know, they're worried about the climate and the earth and everything else. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. They could be in hell that afternoon. You know what? I look at this, some of this stuff that goes on. They say, well, you think about it. I pray them people get saved.
Yeah.
Wow, those people are going to meet God one day. That man right there, he went from living it up, drinking out of holy vessels, and man having a great big old party, to that afternoon met God. The Bible said in that night, and then guess what? A whole change. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And you know what that tells me? Things can change just like that. People say, well, you don't get in your earthly mind state. You better be careful about saying, well, this is how it's going to be for so long. You don't know. Something can change overnight, man. You're going to have a thing one of these days, and I tell y'all about the rapture all the time, because one of these days it's going to happen.
Yes, it is.
Preferably today, but hey, if it's 20 years from now, that's fine with me too. But one of these days, a rapture is going to happen. God's going to catch the church out of here. And guess what? The tribulation is going to come after that sometime. And you know what's going to happen? Babylon is going to be set up, and it's going to be a one-world religion, according to the Bible, and a one-world government, according to the Bible. And people at that time are going to be persecuted, and the Christians are going to be persecuted, and all them things. When's this going to end? When's this going to end? Well, the Bible says in Revelation 18, verse 10, talking about these people that were part of it. And guess what the problem is? Verse 9, and the kings of the earth, all right, were they so earthly minded, they became kings of the earth, all right, guess what happened to them? Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Just in an hour. You see what God can do in an hour? God can do more in a second than you can do in 1,000 years. God can take a kingdom in one night and change it. And God can take a kingdom that's going against God and that thinks they've got all the worldly power they have and in 1 hour destroy it. Does that give you a little bit of perspective of how short God, he said, a short work? Will he make? Well, guess what? God can change things. That's why it don't bother me with the things that go on and people say, you don't understand what's going to... You don't understand the power of God. Amen. You know what? The power of God is such that we're serving a God that can just change. So if he doesn't change things, you know that he could if he wanted to. So what's that tell you? We must be going through it for a reason.
Amen.
For a reason. And we'll get to it if I ever get to it, but... I don't know if I ever will. Here's the next thing. You think about what's the most important thing about knowing God's in charge. Matthew 10:28-31, he's talking about fearing people. Fear and don't fear people, but God who can throw the soul in hell. Now watch this bottom part of verse 31. He says, fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. So there goes Peter getting mad about that verse, I guess. What are they going to think about that? Look, the Bible says a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Don't go out there and don't go home and beat your dog and say, well, God don't care about animals. He does care about animals. But people are more important than animals, and he cares more about people and souls than he does this earth. That's the thing that we got to get on our mind. Look, so you think about earthly minded. Are we being earthly minded? Are we putting more stock in what we have here on earth or what we have over there? God cares more about lost souls than he does animals or this earth. Now here's the last, I tell you, I hope y'all are all right right here, but here's the Lord's way. Not only the Lord's work, but the Lord's way. He said he's going to do it in righteousness back over there in Romans 9. So guess what? His way is by righteousness. Now, for speed here, in Genesis 18, just before he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord told you in Romans 9, he does things by righteousness. All right. In Genesis 18, I think it's very telling that it just happens to be in chapter 18. Just before he destroys a city that's linked with Sodom, that's a wicked sin, according to the Bible, not Brother Chase. And then Egypt, over in the Bible, is way over there in Revelation 11. The Bible says that Jerusalem is going to be called Sodom and Egypt. So just before he destroys Sodom, you got that connection over there in Revelation, what the world one of these days is ultimately coming to before it comes to Jesus. He destroys here Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter number 19. And you got Sodom, wicked sin. You got Egypt, bondage. And in Pharaoh, picture Antichrist, right there in chapter 18. 18 being 666. I love those pictures in the Bible. You see how God's able to get a whole lot right there in one thing? All right, you think about this. What am I leading up to? He said in Genesis 18:25, Abraham's talking to the Lord about destroy. He said, man, you're going to destroy this thing, Lot's down and all this stuff. He said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? When you know what you find out over in verse 32? He will do right. He said, would you destroy it if there were 10 righteous people there? That Bible said he's going to make the earth short in righteousness. God couldn't find 10 righteous people.
He couldn't find none.
Shows you. He said he wouldn't have destroyed it, Brother Mike, if it had been 10.
Just 10.
Now you think God, you think what God's doing, people say, man, all these good folks on the earth, Bible says none good, no, not one. None of us deserve anything in to begin with. We got salvation. I didn't deserve that. I got it. So if you've got that, you've got the main thing. So when you see things going on the earth and all this destruction going on, don't think, God, what are you doing? You're just like Abraham. God said, hey, if I could find some righteousness down there, we might be able to prolong this thing. But you know what the problem is? The problem is, ain't no righteousness. Pardon my countryness, there ain't no... But I'll tell you this. You know what the trouble is? The trouble is the most of this world does not love Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The majority of this world does not care about the Bible. The majority of this world does not care about the family. The majority of this world does not care about trying to do right and trying to help others. The majority of this world is a lover of their own self. So we can't say, well, Lord, what are you doing? He said he's going to do it by righteousness. Not only that, he does things the Lord's ways. He does things by revelation. Verse number 28, he tells you what he's going to do, but you wouldn't have known that had you not read it from the Bible. You're going to have to get revelation from God's Word. God's a God that reveals things, but only those who come and seek Him out. That's the problem. The secret of the Lord is those who love Him and those who are seeking Him. Now, I think about this too, since it's by revelation. That's why I try not to make all these predictions. These people right now are saying, well, in a few years, this is going to happen. And you know, and the government's going to take over and they're going to do all this stuff. You don't know. You don't have a clue. You're just making predictions, man.
Right.
And you know what? At the end of all this stuff, a lot of false prophets are... I think all of them... Look, all these people made all these definite predictions about September and about November and about December and stuff. Just step down then while you're a false prophet.
Amen.
That's what the Bible said. That's not... Well, you're just being mean. If they predicted all that stuff and it didn't come to pass, the Bible says they're a false prophet.
Yeah.
You can prophesy. I can prophesy right now according to the Bible and say, guess what? Because I've trusted Christ, one of these days I'm going to be in heaven. I can prophesy concerning you. One of these days you trusted Jesus Christ, you're going to be in heaven. I can do that. But as far as the earth, this is God's. He can do with it what He wants to. And the government and everything else, that's up to God. And the God and the devil get together on that stuff. You say, well, the devil's running the kingdoms of this world right now. So the devil has to get permission and stuff. So who do I think I am to predict what's going to happen?
Right.
You better be careful with that stuff. Why? I was looking at some of these failed predictions of man on global warming. You got people like Al Gore. They make some of the craziest stuff. You, that guy, Lord have mercy. Just pray for him. They said this. This is just a few scientists predicted in 2000 that kids will grow up without snow. You just as nutty as a pecan pie, man. It's been 10 years since scientists predicted the end of skiing in Scotland. You see what you get into? That's why you don't make these predictions. You don't know. God knows. They said the Arctic would be ice-free by now. That's been a long time ago when they said that. Gore said that in 2008. By now, by 2020, it's supposed to be ice-free. See now? But people still giving him money. Still paying to hear him speak. Tell that guy, hey, sit down and be quiet, man. Your predictions were wrong. And you think they repent of it? You think they say, no, I was wrong, I lied? No, they just keep the money flowing.
That's right.
Wow, you want to know what the problem is? Money.
Yeah.
Money. Verse 4 thing. Environmentalists predicted the end of spring snowfall. That was back in March of 2013. You crazy. You see that thing? No, what I'm showing you is isn't it wonderful to have the Bible to go by? Here's the last thing. The end of skiing. They predicted all this stuff about Colorado and all this end of skiing and stuff like that. Look, they still skiing. Still going on. You know what? You're going to find out this earth is going to be around until God says He don't want it around anymore. Here's the last thing. The Lord's warning. And we'll close. In verse 28 of Romans 9. Man's time is short. The Bible says it's like a vapor. I use Windex a good bit. You ever sprayed some Windex just like that right there? You spray it and it's gone. I know that's funny, but I'm going to tell you something. That's what he compares life to, just a vapor. He said, man, you better enjoy it. Better not waste time on this junk. Better not waste time on you. I'm using this global warming and this climate change to show you this. Don't waste time on stuff that don't matter. People condemn you for trying to enjoy your family and stuff like that. Enjoy God and enjoy your family. And don't let anybody talk bad about you about it. Well, they say, well, I just can't believe. Well, I tell you what, I'm trying to point my family, like the Bible said, it's from me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You and your house can do what you want to. Me and my house is serving the Lord. Man, I'll tell you something. Well, time's short. I don't have time. It's like a rotten tree over in Job 14:7-10. Like that tree is out in our driveway. You're riding by. Everything looks fine. A slight wind comes in, blows it across the driveway. You know what I did? Got out there and got my chainsaw and cut it up, threw it on fire. He said, that's how life is. Looks fine, one day, boom. You know what the best thing to know is? You better be saved. Better get saved, better get saved. Like a rotten tree. They get that heart rot. You know what David said? He said, life's like a step. He said, there is but a step between me and death. You know how close it is? Like this. You know what the best thing you can do for your family is get saved where they know where you're at. You know what I get comfort in knowing that people I loved are with the Lord right now. That comforts my heart more than my mind. I don't even have the vocabulary to explain it to you. You young and here, you know what the best thing you can do is get saved and live a life close to the Lord and give your family some comfort.
Amen.
Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Time's short, man.
That's right.
Enjoy it. Be kind. When people get so bitter and they get mad about stuff, and don't let that stuff bite. Why? You're not going to be here long enough for it to even matter. Get mad about people, get mad at people, and y'all don't agree with me. It don't even matter, man. Why? Because you think it's going to matter in 100 years? I'm going to be with the Lord in 100 years from now.
Amen.
And I can think back. Look, if I make it 50 more years, who knows? But and I can tell you this. In 100 years from today, look, I'm not going to live to be 137. I'm going to be with the Lord. That gives my heart joy to know that. Here's the next thing. The Bible said, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness there. You know what? The earth belongs to God. That's the way, you know what you can tell some of these people, you witness to them. You're going to get a chance to as things get more and more crazy. Just tell them, hey, the earth's the Lord's. He can do with it what he wants to. Here's the last thing, man's tragedy is this, to only have the earth to look forward to. Man, aren't you glad? I get out here and get some of the, look, I've got good things that goes on in life. But I'm glad this earth isn't all I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to knowing, folks, I'm sitting here looking at y'all in the pews, and I'm going to look at you, and we're going to be in glory together.
Yes.
And look, this earth is fading away. Every day I'm getting older. Every day I'm getting one day closer to the grave. But every day I'm getting one day closer to seeing the one that saved my soul. That does me good.
Amen.
So here's conclusions. God's will. He says in his word that we can trust every word of it. It's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what he'd like to see people do? Get saved and serve God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know how I can keep you from being a miserable person to be around? Put your hope in Jesus Christ. Walk out that door and say, man, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. There's joy in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. Lord.